The Lasting Perils of Religion-Based Population Imbalance. During his annual Vijayadashami speech, RSS Sarasanghachalak Dr. Mohan Bhagwat spoke about the demographic imbalance and balancing it along sectarian lines. He broached the subjects of the partition of India and the birth of East Timor, Kosovo and South Sudan on sectarian and religious grounds. The paucity of thoughts on peace and lack of consensus on the perils of population explosion is to be blamed for such an affliction. During the course of the independence movement, the Muslim leaders unjustly demanded special constituencies, voting rights, and states all based on their demographic supremacy in several regions, and such demands culminated in their demand for a separate nation. The ensuing partition resulted in the deaths of millions of Hindus, Sikhs, Christians and others, replicating the agonizing instances from Bharat's past, trauma under the Sultanates, the Mopla Hindu genocide, Direct Action Day, and the brutality of the Rizakas. The list could go on. It is worth mentioning that the recent attacks on Hindus in West Bengal's Mominpur are a continuation of such heinous crimes executed due to the advantage of demographic supremacy where the other denominations are vastly outnumbered. The problem of demographic imbalance is not endemic to India, but exists all over the world. Asian countries like India, China, Japan etc. have become aware of this. Japan has also been adamant on its stance of not admitting anyone from the terror-infested countries of the Middle East, despite the insistence from the liberal world. China too is not allowing terrorism to take root on its soil. But the Western world has not woken up yet. Despite examples of division of the population in East Timor, Kosovo and South Sudan on religious grounds, Europe and many other countries are refusing to learn and are pushing its citizens into the pit of terror in the name of providing humanitarian shelter to migrants from the Middle East by considering them as refugees. Millions of Muslims sought refuge in many European countries as the Middle East became a battleground for ISIS. For decades, many from Palestine have intruded in the same guise of refugees. The situation in the countries that have imbibed such people on the basis of humanity is worsening drastically. The security of the continent is in peril. By pivoting around the population explosion of their sect and by indulging in acts of violence, they are betraying the people who embraced them. Europe in peril. The sect's universal custom of implementing Sharia law unofficially in areas where they have a numerical superiority is prevalent in almost all the major cities of Europe. For example, the city of Bradford in the UK is already called Bradistan by the so-called refugees. Leicester, where Hindus were attacked recently, Birmingham and many more cities are on their way to becoming the graveyard for followers of other faiths. Can you gauge the hatred that these refugees have against the Jews? Jewish settlements in Europe are attacked repeatedly by these bigots. The attack on Hindu temples is fairly recent in that sense. Churches are already being attacked in many European towns and cities. The situation of the original inhabitants of the islands of Crete in Greece is alarming. The island, which is closer to both North Africa and the Middle East, was forced to accommodate a huge number of refugees from the North African countries and the war-torn Middle East. The original inhabitants of these islands and the nations which are hosting them are finding it difficult to even follow their way of life. Once the refugees are in good numbers, they begin to dictate what goes and what is not allowed in public life. So much is their subterfuge that they are issuing fatwas against those who have sheltered them. One such fatwa was against beach dresses of European women, saying that such a dress code is not in accordance with Sharia law. Food habits have changed and halal has been made mandatory in places where their population has increased. Clamor for a ban on alcohol, and shutting down of churches functioning in their areas are other instances. Such diktats have carried on to other facets of public life. Food habits have changed and halal has been made mandatory in places where their population has increased. Clamor for a ban on alcohol, and shutting down of churches functioning in their areas are other instances. They resort to the usual alibi of Islamophobia and administrative trampling on the minority rights when their encroachment and tax aversion are questioned by the governments. Statistics by the respective European governments reveal the dramatic increase in contraband substance abuse, pickpocketing and other illegal activities since their migration. The Arab News had reported a few weeks back that the Muslim migrants are crucial voters in Britain's 18 parliamentary constituencies. Such analysis and statistics raise several questions. Why does this matter to a foreign newspaper? Why is their numerical superiority in a European country celebrated elsewhere? Is it universal brotherhood? When the European countries fight the terrorists, why do the so-called Muslim refugees in Europe aggressively protest against the very countries that shelter them? Is religion bigger than security, peace and humanity for European Muslims? Police investigation into the 2015 terror attack in France revealed the true nature of these refugees. Recall the Boycott France campaign by some in our own country. Universal Brotherhood again. The rude awakening. Giorgia Meloni, expected to become the Prime Minister of Italy, has strongly raised her voice against this destructive development and has promised strict action. Italy is also a victim of such numerical superiority. A case in point is the letter written by a headmaster of a school in Italy to Meloni informing that several parents had asked the management to change the weekly holiday to Friday, quoting the majority of Muslim students in the school. Dutch MP Geert Wilders, a strong critic of this refugee terrorism, who was attacked many times by these refugees, was questioned in an interview by a refugee cleric who had taken refuge in the Netherlands. He asked Wilders, "Why are you blaming us like this? You are scaring us," to which the MP answered, "Who is wearing a bulletproof jacket, you or me? Why did you people attack me? Who is in danger, the natives or the uninvited guests? European Muslims who today are refusing to allow the natives to settle in areas where they are a majority, may soon ask for a separate nation in Europe on the very grounds of demographic superiority. Who is wearing a bulletproof jacket, you or me? Why did you people attack me? Who is in danger, the natives or the uninvited guests?" Dutch MP Geert Wilders. There are numerous instances of such migrant terrorism. Be it the White Widow or Samantha Luthwaite from Northern Ireland, a victim of love jihad, brainwashed by the refugee neighbors and married to a terrorist, subsequently ended up becoming a terrorist and a poacher, or Major Nadal Hassan, a Palestinian refugee who killed 13 American soldiers at Fort Hood, intruding the US military. The US has woken up, although belatedly. Europe too has to wake up in the interests of its original inhabitants. Very few countries like Hungary, Poland, and Switzerland, which stopped the intrusion of this Trojan horse at their borders, are secure. Conclusion. We in India must also be cognizant of these developments. Didn't we already experience this in 1947? Isn't recent incidents reminiscent of the massacre of the Pandits of Kashmir in 1990? The need of the hour is to ensure that each citizen abides by the law of the land and that the citizens recognize their responsibility and voluntarily take steps to control the population. RSS Sarasingha Chalak Dr. Mohan Bhagwat's timely reminder about the perils of demographic imbalance based on religion should be a wake-up call for all and not an issue for politicking. We must also remind ourselves that imprudent application of the concept of state secularism in these matters to appease a section of society would definitely lead to socio-cultural and environmental conflicts. Fortunately, the government of India is taking prudent steps to ensure a robust society and nation. By Mahesh Manchal. Source: samvadaworld.com. Thank you for listening to The Organizer.